Hey, Chris. Chris,
okay, I think I'm going to call us to order. I think everyone's silent.
8
p.m. And Pledge of Allegiance. Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Madam Clerk, please.
Mr. Clancy.
Yes.
Ms. Kane.
Here.
Mr. Cassidy.
Yes.
Mr. Vansky.
Here.
Mayor Will.
Here. First item on the agenda that's been on the table is a presentation on renewable energy. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. And I will recognize this gentleman over here.
Hi. Thank you very much, Mayor Council. I'm here. I'm going to try to keep this as short and concise as I can. I can urge you to do that.
We don't want to be rude to you, but no, we do have a three-page agenda. So
that's fine.
I'll
try to hit the highlights. I distributed to the Mayor and the Council a kind of a summary of what I'm going to talk about. What I suggest is keep mental notes. Feel free to follow up with me. I'd be happy to answer questions at some future point in time. Come back and visit and discuss things in more detail. Okay.
Okay.
Essentially, what I'm going to talk about are some of the programs that are out there related to energy that municipalities can take advantage of, participate in. Typically, these are geared both toward energy conservation, greener environment, and some of them are geared also toward increasing the jobs that are out there in the workplace. So I'll start with the first one is New Jersey Clean Energy. New Jersey's Board of Public Utilities has set up an agency, New Jersey Clean Energy Group, which sponsors many different kinds of programs that municipalities can take advantage of. The first one I'm going to talk about is a facility audit project, our program. Essentially, what the clean energy people will do is they will effectively sponsor the town to do an energy audit of all of its facilities. The New Jersey Clean Energy people will pay, once the audit's been completed in the proper manner, 75% of the cost of the audit. And if the measures that are recommended in the audit are implemented, to the point where they equal the amount to the other 25%, they'll actually reimburse the other 25% too. So essentially, if you perform the audit and implement the measures that are in the audit won't cost any money. These audits typically range in cost from $5,000 to $7,000 per building that the town would have. So multiply that times the number of buildings, that'll be what the cost of the audit would be, and that would be the compensation that would come back from New Jersey Community. And there's various procedures if you follow and have that done. That's probably the best first step so that the town can identify where there are energy-saving measures that they could employ, which, by virtue of making improvements to the facilities, will conserve energy, save the town money in the long run. And those audits will do an assessment, find out, determine what the payback and various measures will be that they're identified during the course of the project, whether it's insulation, better windows, better roof, whatever the item might be, HVAC control. So that's usually your best step, is to do a comprehensive audit of your facility. And again, New Jersey's Clean Energy's got a program where they'll pay 75% of it, and if you implement the measures, they'll actually pay 100% of it. Other measures that New Jersey Clean Energy has is Smart Start. If you put some of these measures in place, they'll actually compensate you and pay you for some of those measures that you're going to put in place. So there's funding available to actually make the improvements as well. Pay for performance is another program where they'll take a holistic look at the building, and if you can achieve certain improvements in efficiencies, 15% energy reductions, things like that, they'll pay for all the improvements. So there are very impressive compensations available through the New Jersey Clean Energy people. There are other ones here. I'll just read them off. Direct install, where they'll come out here and assess for smaller buildings such as police buildings, town hall of this size will actually come out, do the assessment, and make the repairs, and the town will only have to pay 20% of the cost of it. So, again, there's a lot of programs that they have that the town might want to take advantage of. Other programs that they have are TEACH, where they'll come out, provide instruction to teachers to how to educate the children in the school on energy savings. School benchmarking, where they can identify how your school compares with other schools. The next item, everybody knows about solar panels. I just heard about solar panels. energy people have about the best funding source in the whole country for compensating people for solar panel installations. And I won't go into all the details for this, but there are tremendous amounts of grants and renewable energy credits that the town can take advantage of if it was so inclined to move forward with a renewable energy project. And again, I can give you more specifics on that later on. There are also other measures, and the next two are pretty much the same thing, a very similar thing. The energy saving improvement programs and the power purchase agreements. Both of those are third-party funded sources of improvements where third parties will actually come to your facility and make improvements and essentially be paid for those improvements by virtue of your energy savings. People are typically more attracted to larger facilities to do those. You may not have facilities that are attractive to third-party people to do that, but that's certainly one of the options that's also available. I'll skip over to the next one, which is energy efficiency and conservation block grants. And this is something that the Highlands could take advantage of. The Obama administration has heard about the programs that they put out there to inject capital into the United States. This is one of the ways that they've done that. They've issued energy block grants to all the states. So New Jersey is getting an energy block grant. And New Jersey, in turn, turns around and will offer all the municipalities of the state opportunities to take advantage of those same grants. For a town like the Highlands, you'd be eligible for up to $20,000 through the state program by coming up with a program, how you want to do some energy conservation, energy efficiency program, send in an application, go through the application process, and you'd be able to receive a grant of $20,000. Essentially, you'd be identifying what project you want to make the improvement and filling up a formal program. So, again, that's something that's out there. That's New Jersey is completing its development of the program with the Department of Energy. As soon as it's finalized, you'd be able to go ahead and make an application for that. So that's something that's coming up very quickly. There's another program called Sustainable Jersey. Sustainable Jersey is a voluntary program where standards are set for how communities, municipalities, and the state can be energy conscious, green, and it's about, like I said, it's a voluntary program. There's many measures that are very similar to the measures that are identified in the programs that I previously mentioned, which some of these may have some small grants available, but I'd say that the biggest part of this program being a sustainable jersey is being able to tell everybody our community is a sustainable community. So it's kind of more like bragging rights. But as you'll see, there's one other thing that's kind of related to the sustainable jersey down below. The next item on the list is something called Community Partner Initiative. This is something that your citizens and businesses might want to take advantage of. This is from the New Jersey Clean Energy people, for businesses and residential buildings. You actually pay $125 for your business or your residence to have an energy audit. The people come out there, they identify ways to do weatherization and other improvements, and you can qualify for up to $1,000 of weather sealing for your facility. So this is another pretty good program that they've got out there. You pay $125, you can make $1,000 of improvements in your facility, and you can get compensated back for that. So that's something that you may want to highlight for your residences and your businesses and your community. The next item on the list, local government greenhouse gas reduction program. Program is put on by the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. The projects are typically there to reduce greenhouse gases. This is more of a planning exercise. There are some funding measures available. Priority is given to governments that are members of the Sustainable Jersey. So as I mentioned above, that Sustainable Jersey program was a voluntary one. But here, if you were competing against other communities for this particular, and they have some grant money associated with this, if you were competing against somebody else, you were a sustainable community and they weren't, the odds might tip in your favor if you were a sustainable community. So that's just something to bear in mind. If you had any projects that you wanted to participate in, the pre-application submission is due at the end of this month, so in a couple of weeks. So there, like I said, there is some funding available. These types of projects range from anti idling campaigns and down to the people of burning less fuel and other green measures that are not hard construction measures, like putting photovoltaic panels or a windmill or anything like that. These are softer planning measures that you may want to implement. I can give you more information about that if you'd like. The other funding sources, there's a Clean Energy Solutions Capital Investment Program. This is more of a loan program where you get a zero interest loan for half the loan amount. You can qualify for some portion of that to be a grant. The minimum size of these projects are $1 million. There's also another program for getting loans at zero interest, which is called the Clean Renewable Energy Bonds, CREBS. Again, if you had some big project, it's obviously a 0% loan is very attractive if you're spending millions of dollars on something like that. Those are some funding sources that are out there. And finally, there's a home weatherization program. Again, this is for the individuals in your communities. This is through the Office of Low Energy or Low Income Energy Conservation through the DCA. And for low-income homes, the agency is going to fund the weatherization of 12,700 homes in the state of New Jersey. So there may be opportunities for people to take advantage of that as well. That's a real brief summary. There's a lot of things here. There are some opportunities, and again, I don't want to take up everybody's time tonight, but if the mayor and the council are interested, I'd be happy to come back and sit down and go through each of these programs in a little more detail and figure out if any of them are applicable, what programs you might want to pursue, and if there's some way we can arrange to take advantage of some of the funding that's out there right now.
I think this is very important. I think we are a shore community. I think being energy conscious and environmentally conscious is extremely important. I think we have opportunities for wind. I know there's a lot of concern about what those things look like, where you want to put them. I mean, there's issues there. I think we might even consider, you know, encouraging residents to do something house by house, which is a little less impactful. I know that LEED certification is something I've been interested in. I think others at the table have been interested in it going forward for all of the buildings in the Borough of Highlands, especially anything that we might construct new in the future. I know we just did extensive renovations to the community center, and I know that we've put a lot of money into a new firehouse, which is about to be dedicated. So those are places we might want to look to implement some of this. You already have a state-of-the-art facility that you're showing off, and if you could just put the icing on the cake with some energy efficiency, I think it would be a good place to start. I like the last item that you mentioned, home weatherization. 12,700 homes in the state, there have to be some low-income homes here in Highlands,
sure,
where people could benefit from this. I mean, it is extremely hard in this economy for people with moderate to low incomes to pay their energy bills. And this could actually take care of a family or perhaps an elderly couple who are living on a fixed income. So I think all of it's good. You're going to have to pick where you want to focus, and I'm wondering if there's a person at the table that might want to take the lead on this.
Actually, I can work on some of that with the Open Space Committee.
Okay.
This is Dan Richard, part of it.
Okay, so I'll designate Councilwoman Rebecca Kane as a contact. Rebecca, in between meetings, would you want to meet perhaps with Mr. Sweetwood for direction?
Yep, thank you.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So anybody else at the table wants to talk to Mr. Sweetwood?
I'm going to help back.
I'm sure she will. You're looking for some hands. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Sweetwood, for that presentation, and I'm glad that we have someone that's going to follow up.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to the public hearing and adoption, right?
Yep.
Just going to check and see if anyone's going to
Okay, the next item on the agenda is public hearing and adoption of R09-108. HBP annual budget.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, all this was advertised also in the June 26th issue of the True of the Times. So,
we're out of
the public.
Okay, so it's time for me to open the public hearing. Yes?
Yes,
okay. Public hearing is now open. It says that we have a public hearing sign-in sheet. for today's meeting on the HPP budget. And the first name on the list is Joe, is it Nicosia or Nicosia?
Nicosia.
Okay, I see Carla Braswell's hand up. Are you on the list?
No, I was just wondering if it's in the packet, the budget that you're on.
It's right here on the table.
Did you get her?
For the record, Carla Braswell's the HPP president. Okay, Mr. Nicosia, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just a little confused on signing up, make sure I sign up.
Oh, okay. Well, this particular sheet, is for the public hearing on the HPP annual budget. There is another sheet for the public portion at the end of the meeting.
Okay, I want to take my name off.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll mark this that you would like to speak later on.
Yes, I put my name on your list.
Okay, if there are others that have done that, just let me know when I call your name. Okay. For the clerk's benefit, I'm just going to mark later next to those names. Okay. The next name on the list is Donald Mandrot of 268 Bayside Drive.
Donald Mandrot, 268 Bayside Drive. I have two things for you. One is, first is on this housing code. On this summer rental.
Oh, Don, I don't want to interrupt you or offend you. We're talking only about the HPP budget right now. I'll mark you later, okay? Michelle Pizzullo, 115 Highland Avenue. Are you speaking on the HPP budget?
I'm holding it back.
Okay. I'm sorry for the confusion, everybody. We should have made an announcement. Carol Bucco?
No.
Okay, Jim Phillip? Jay Cosgrove? Jim Parla?
No.
John Bentham?
Jeez. one comment I want to make is I think that this ought to be revisited. I think that the council ought to consider approving the entire assessment that the HPP was expecting at the beginning of the year. They were given no advance warning that their budget was going to be cut until the third month of this year. They had previous contractual obligations that they have to take care of way ahead of time. And I think it's only fair, considering that it's set from this council table, that the events and activities would go on unabated without interruption just as good before, when they're obviously being starved for cash by having their cut budget slashed. So I think this ought to be revisited for at least this year and at their entire budget that they expected, they had every reason to expect, they planned on, go on as the assessment should have been. That's it.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments. Carla Braswell.
I'm just wondering, and I guess I don't understand, since this is not the budget that we submitted, and that's the budget that is acted on by the governing body according to the statute. Maybe the attorney can help me here. So I'm just wondering where this budget, we submitted a budget for $57,000 and it failed according to the guidelines of the statute. So I'm just wondering what this budget is, since we have not resubmitted one.
Mr. Attorney, would you feel that you could explain that at this time?
Well, it's the budget. The budget that was submitted was rejected, and you reformulated, and this is the budget. That's the explanation.
Wow.
Sure it is.
So the governing body reformulated the budget?
The governing body created the budget based upon what it is that they allocated for the tax assessment. That is how it is.
So this is allocated. We submitted a $57,000 budget.
They allocated 40.
Is that correct?
You submitted a budget.
Right.
They allocated 40.
Is that the statute?
If you ask me a question, I'll answer you.
Okay. So I'm just asking, did that budget fail?
I'm going to need an opportunity to speak, though. You submitted a $57,000 budget.
That's right.
They allocated $40,000 for that, and this budget is that allocation.
This is $40,000, but they collected $47,500. So the governing body amended this budget to give us $47,500. Is that right, Mayor?
That's correct, but the mayor can say that as well.
Okay. Yep. That is what I understand this governing body to have done. You submitted a budget with a certain amount of money. This governing body changed that amount of money. I don't know what your liaisons have done. I don't know. I have not attended any good meetings.
This has all happened after any meetings that you've called. The $40,000 was the budget. It turns out that there was $47,500 collected. You raised that question, and it was judged at this point it's more expedient to give the $47,500 rather than the $40,000, and that's what this reflects.
So you were advised that the budget, the governing body, adjusts the budget to the amount that was collected. Is that correct? That's the answer I would like. It's a yes or a no, please.
Carla, you're trying to parse the words, and I'm not sure what you're trying to say.
I'm asking a simple question.
It's a very simple thing.
Did 47, the governing body adjust the budget to reflect the money collected?
It's not our budget to adjust.
Right. So
we are
the budget that's being proposed here to adopt tonight. I'm just asking. I just really need to know.
Okay, I'm not sure of the question. We're allocating instead of 40.
I understand the question. The question is not what amount of money.
You're trying to grab into something. I don't know, Scott, you got an answer?
No, I'm not grabbing in. We need to know.
Okay, I'm going to.
You're allocating $47,500. That's what you were allocating.
Is that your budget? That's not ours to say.
You were allocated $47,500.
Right. But so do you then put that in a budget format when
you were allocated? You were allocated $47,500. You seek an allocation from us because we have the power of taxation. You were allocated $47,500, and that is what this reflects.
Okay. You're the assessment collector. Okay.
We are the
you
ones with the power.
You are the assessment collector under the statute. And
we are the
submitted a budget for $57,000, $57,500. So, based on the conversations that happened with Mr. Fessler and the letter he submitted to Burr, you collected $47,500 based on the 2008 assessment. The clerk's office contacted the HVP office asking us to amend the budget, and the board said no because the budget we voted on was $57,500. So, that budget failed according to the statute. So, then, is it the governing body's power to exercise making a new budget to adopt to reflect that amount? That is the question. It's yes or no?
No, it's not. We allocated $47,500 for you. There you go.
Okay.
That's the answer. I don't know what else to tell you.
All right, I know this is public hearing, and I think this question is arising out of a question I'm hearing from the public, so I'm going to just voice it. I don't want to take time away from the public, but I think I want to participate a little bit here. It seems to me that we're going to be asked as a governing body to vote on a budget. Is that correct?
Yes.
Not just an amount of money.
Correct.
Okay, have there been allocations line by line made in that budget by this body or no? Steve?
No, I think we followed the allocations that were in the original HVP budget.
Now, you followed allocations. Did you remove line items? Did you reduce amounts in line items? So
there's
if you followed the allocations, then the bottom line in the budget is going to be 57.5 or it's going to be 47.5?
47.5.
So we changed the numbers, or we didn't change the numbers.
We added a line item. We added a line item within the budget showing a $9,500 reduction. How it gets implemented is up to the HVP.
Okay. All right. I understand. We did.
So you just amended it with the reduction.
Right. Correct. So how it gets allocated is still the HBP's duty, not the borough's. We're not saying this is how you have to do it. That
no,
would
no,
be,
I understand.
Okay.
I just want to be clear that the governing body took the liberty to amend a budget that they are adopting, which you have to adopt the budget.
Right.
I think the record needs to show. The record needs to show we're not amending your budget. We're just changing the amount you requested to $47,500.
So then the record should reflect that you should be adopting a document like this or a budget with an amendment to it. I'm asking. Sir.
Wrong. We are allocating money. It must be done in a budget form. We have reduced. this governing body has decided to allot to you. That's the format that is coming to you in. You will have, instead of the $57,000-some-odd that you had asked for, you're going to get $47,500. You, so, whatever your records say, they say.
Okay. So, I'm asking, did the process, is what I'm questioning, not the amount of money. I understand all the amount. I had a great, a lengthy conversation with Mr. Pfeffer prior to, after I sent the letter. I'm just wondering the process. So, we took a budget that we submitted and made an amendment to it. That's the question.
This, yes. This is clearly an amended budget, but we are allocating $47,500.
We didn't amend
the
budget. We're saying this is the amount we're going to collect for you.
No, I understand that.
Well, then what's the point?
Just the process that was taken.
The process is the process. You want to go back to the $40,000?
No, the process that you don't
have
to be rude.
I'm not being rude.
Right, right.
Because she's asking this so you can do this later. Come
right.
on.
I'm tired of it.
You can be tired as
from
you want.
Everyone. Tired.
That's good.
Okay, so I just asked a question about the process because we have to answer the people's terms. So I wanted the attorney to answer me if the governing body took the liberty of mending the budget that was submitted.
The next name on the list is Art Gallagher of 158 Linden Ave.
Before I go, I think Mr. Phillip came in after we announced his name and he wanted to speak about it.
Oh, okay. Jim Phillip, I did call your name and somebody said later, but you.
Can I speak or can I not speak?
I'm going to recognize you. You can speak.
Thank you. I understand the budget, I understand your process. I think the question that Carly asked and the question that the present members of the FIT have is that did the governing body change our budget to reflect the amount of money that they collected in respect to our ability to raise other money at $57,500? Because if our budget, if our board approved was $57,500, and the town amended that budget to reflect what the town collected, not what the bid could raise on its own for $57,500, then I'm not clear on how the governing body can amend the budget of a private entity, even though you collect part of the money, but you do not collect all of the money. So my thought process is a little bit clear. I understand what you've done. I understand what the attorney's saying. I understand what the financial officer has said. My question is, how can the governing body go to a private entity and change their budget, not knowing whether or not we have the ability to raise another $10,000. If you tell us that we only have $47,500, I can live with that. But I don't know if you have the ability to change our budget from 57.5 to 47.5. You can approve $47,500 as your portion of it. You cannot say that you changed, that you amended our budget. That's not within your realm to do. You can approve $47,000, and I agree with what the attorney said. You can go ahead and approve it at $47,000, but you must leave the budget at $57,500. It's our responsibility to come up with the other $10,000. If we cannot come up with the other $10,000,
think that my question is to the attorney, does the public governing body have the right to go to a private organization, even though we get funding through the town, and amend the budget to the level that they collect, not necessarily the dollar amount that we think that we need to run it? I agree that you can tell us we can have $47,500. That I agree with. I don't think you have the right to tell us that we can't have a budget at $57,500 because you're only collecting $47,500. You see where I'm having?
No,
a problem?
I understand exactly what you're saying. What I would say is it's not a short answer, but the specifics of it are is yes, we can set the allocation, and if there is no communication back to the governing body that you want to voluntarily adjust your budget, we must set an allocation. But I'm going to let Steve, who's the finance, Mr. Pfeffer, answer the finance aspect of it. But the long and short of it is, absolutely we can do that. But Steve, you can perhaps answer the question on more.
Okay, I think it wasn't the intention of the governing body to limit your budget as far as the $57,500. What the governing body was trying to do on this piece of paper, in conjunction with the way that the governing body does its municipal budget, would handle a failed school budget or a failed fire district budget, was to amend the assessment, but to show the difference between the assessment, the original assessment and the new assessment, as a line item within the budget to just represent that it was a $9,500 cut. So no, they are not trying to limit your ability to raise funds, okay, and stay within whatever budget you set internally. But this was the only method that we could come up with to show, A, we're amending to the 47.5, and B, just to show that $9,500 reduction someplace. And since nobody came back and said, okay, take down this line, or take down this one, or take down this one, this was the only way that we felt comfortable where we could just show that we're reducing $9,500.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. I understand what the attorney's saying. I think that it has to be shown, though, in I'm not an ordinance person or however you're going to do this thing, but I think it has to be shown, though, that there is some question on this particular $9,500 reduction. Why and wherefore? If you want to put into this ordinance that you're going to pass, it is the same as a reduction in a school budget or a fire department budget, then I'll buy that and I understand it. I think the thing that we don't have is we don't have an explanation of what it is. It was just a $9,500 reduction. I think there has to be a specific. Give us an example. You just gave me the example. I understand it. I think that has to be someplace in this particular piece of what you're going to do, because I think there has to be an explanation. I mean, we have to go back to the board and explain to them what this is. It's much easier to say, this is why, or this is how.
Well, the why part is easy. The why part is because we collected 47.5,
okay,
and we wanted to give you the 47.5.
Okay, okay. We understand that.
Okay. So in other words, let me see if I understand your question. Is it that you would be more comfortable if we just strike that minus $9,500 off of that, the way we have it set up in here, and just remove that minus $9,500 on the sheet? Is that what?
Well, the problem with it is the board agreed to a budget of $57,500. It's our obligation to attempt to see what we can do. We know the town's going to give us $47,500. That's an acceptable thing, and nobody's arguing that particular point. The point is do you have the ability to go to a private entity, and you told me you do because you're handling this like the school board or like a fire district, and remove that budget dollar amount? Is the bid in the, and this is a question for the attorney, is the bid in the same classification as a school district or a fire department to do this particular reduction? If it is, I
understand. The funding mechanism is is similar. It's taxation.
Right.
But the situation, the problem arose here when it was not communicated back to the borough, and I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, but the borough did not find out that there was going to be this shifting. All right, fine, you're giving us $9,500 less. We'll raise that in private funding source. That wasn't then there would have been a different circumstance altogether. But that was not communicated back to the borough, and we were left with a situation where the allocation was $47,500, and that was the allocation that was to be struck, period.
Okay.
So that's where we are now. Now, if you're suggesting that your board is going to amend their budget so that it stays at the same base number, but you'll just allocate the $9,500 to the private source as opposed, you know, through fundraising or whatever it might be.
Right. Okay.
Then maybe something can be done to the budget if we can carry this, and I'd have to check with Steve if we can carry this to the next meeting. But if you're not making that representation, then we're going to have to go forward with this as it is, and you'll have to raise money on your own.
Well, I'm not going either way with that. I agree with what you're saying here. The thing that bothers me is that can the governing body go to a private entity, and are you classifying us as, i.e., a school district or a fire district in doing that? And that's the only example that I'm seeing right now. You can go ahead and classify us that way, but is that the right thing to do? What I'm saying is approve our budget at $57,500. You're going to give us $47,500. If we can't make that, then that's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to cut that.
Your budget's actually not 57. It's much more than that, I believe.
No, 57.
We are recording this meeting. This gentleman has the floor. I know you were speaking before, but it's not going to pick up who you are, so we'd have to go one at a time.
Okay.
But be that as it may, the budget is more than $57,000. $47,500 is what's being funded by the governing body. The governing body has an obligation only to show what it is they're going to fund. We can't say, listen, we'll put a budget out there of $60,000, and hopefully they'll raise that additional $13,000 or $12,500. We can't do that. We're not allowed to do that. We have to account for what it is that we allocate, and that's what we're doing.
Okay, as long as you can pass it at $47,500, but I think there has to be a note in there, and I think that whether or not you do it today or you do it next week or next time, it has to reflect the ability of us, if we can possibly raise it, that we can go ahead and do that. Because if we raise more than, if we have more than $47,500, and the budget is that way that the town has approved, then I think we're going to run into a particular situation that, let's say we raise $5,000 more, can the town come back to us and say you can't spend that money because your budget was only $47,500?
First off, that's not the intention, but I guess my question back to the bid is, if you raise additional money on a fundraise, let's say you had, you raised additional money on one of your events, is there anything in your bylaws that prevent you from using that money and spending it within the same budget year?
But I don't want the town to come back and say, listen, you raised X number of dollars here, and according to our amended budget, that therefore you're at $47,500, we're not going to allow you to spend the extra $5,000 or whatever it is. And that's my question.
That's not what we're doing. First off, this is a resolution that mirrors the budget that was submitted to the council, right? There's been no change to that at all, no change, except for the assessment. All we did was add a line item reflecting a $9,500 difference, because that's the difference between what was requested and what we're given.
Okay.
So we're not, I don't think.
And also, Steve, if I can interrupt, I mean, we've been requesting an amended budget from the bid since May, numerous correspondence with nothing back. So at this point, what are we to do to give you your money? Should we just blanket allocation and then that's it?
It doesn't say The thing is, the board passed a budget of $57,500. That is our amended budget. I agree with what the attorney said, and I agree with what the
meeting, we said make up the difference on your own.
Well, I want to...
And your budget says $102,000, and amount to be raised $55,000. So why would we, if you raise $200,000 on your own, we have no say in it. We can't tell you how to spend it. That's great, and that's what we want you to do.
Okay.
That was the spirit of what we said. I don't understand this conversation.
Well,
we're giving you a receipt of $47,500. Please do good with it. How hard could this be?
That's really the intent.
There's no technical solution to how much you raise.
The only thing that I want to do is I want to make sure that town does not come back and say, listen, you raised more funds, and now we're not going to let you go over $47,500 because that would be approved.
No, we're giving you the $47,000, and we can't take it back. We're giving...
That's fine. I want to make sure that if we raise more...
But Jim, we...
All right, I want to set the record straight, please, as mayor of the town and the presiding official at this meeting. It is a very small town. We all know each other very well, and we're very comfortable sitting in this room. We also have an attorney who is used to dealing with small towns and people who are very comfortable with one another. And I am trying to be very patient with a recorded meeting over which I am in charge. Now, while I respect every individual in this room, I need you to respect the way I'm running my meeting. Okay? Now, we're going to start. That goes for people at the table as well. Now, we've called on a number of people who signed up for the wrong list. I take responsibility for that. We didn't make an announcement. We're dealing with that difficulty. We've gone back in the list to someone who was signed up by someone else who was not physically present in the room when the meeting started. Okay? I would like people to know that you can add your name to a list at any time after you enter the room. I do not want to encourage people to sign other people up for this very reason. I'm trying to keep order in a room full of people. That's my biggest job tonight. Okay? Now, there are certain individuals on this list who've been called on who have their hands in the air. I do want you to wait until we're finished. It's a public hearing. I'm not going to deny a member of the public an opportunity to say what's on their mind. It's a public hearing. It's not even public portion. Okay? At this moment, Jim Phillip has the floor. Now, we do have members of the governing body that want to respond to him. Mr. Phillip, is there anything that you would like to say right now that you have not already expressed?
No.
Okay, so we're going to be finished with Mr. Phillip's comments unless he has another question while he still has the floor. Is there a member of the governing body at the table that would like to respond to a question or a comment of Mr. Phillip's at this time? And I will recognize.
I just wanted to say...
I recognize Rebecca Kane.
You know, as we were saying, we had asked for an amended budget. We just wanted to pass it, give the bid what they need to keep going. We hadn't had any responses back. As for the money they make, we want them to be self-sustaining. We want them to keep moving on. It's not we don't want to bid in this town. We want the Highlands Business Partnership to stay, do their things, make their money, and do their end of it. All it is there's just not a tax attached to it.
Okay, is there anyone else at the governing body table that has a comment or a reaction to a question or comment of Mr. Phillips?
I'd just like to reiterate, Jim, we're not going to take back any money. We're going to give you that money, and whatever you make, if you triple it, quadruple it, gazillion times it, good for you.
That's all I wanted to know.
You know that. I don't understand what the whole back and forth was about that. I think you should know you knew that before you asked it. Okay. I would hope that you knew that.
Is there anybody else at governing body's table, that has a comment or a question or reaction to something said by Mr. Phillip at this time? Hearing none. Okay. I am right now going to move to the next three people on the list to see if they're properly on the list. I have Art Gallagher of 158 Linden Avenue. I have A.J. Solomon of, I know it's Marina Bay Drive, I don't have the number, okay? And I think it's Mr. Fugue.
Yes, could you move me to the public?
Okay, so you're later. Mr. Gallagher, are you talking about the HBP this evening?
I was going to, but now I'm not.
Oh, you're not. Okay. So we'll put you to later, or we'll cross you off the list. Which?
I'm already on the list.
You're already on the list. And Ms. Solomon, are you speaking about the HBP
yes.
budget? Okay.
I'm
going to recognize you because you're next on the list, and then we will take a show of hands for anybody who isn't on the list or who needs a second chance to speak. Okay.
I would just like to say that I was at the meeting where we did discuss whether or not our budget would be accepted and whether or not you would give us the money that was collected for us. And there were a lot of businesses present here, a lot of businesses. And the majority of those businesses were in favor of the bid. Now, what I don't understand is that you're supposed to be representing what we want you to do with our money, okay? Now, there was a majority of businesses here, and that majority of businesses wanted the bid. We wanted our money collected and used for the HBP. But you have decided that you know better than I do how to spend my money, and that really makes me angry. You know better than Jim Phillip. You know better than Margo. You know better than Carla. You know better than Jay. How can you sit up there and say you're representing me? You're not representing me. We were here. We told you what we wanted. And you ignored us and voted how you wanted to anyway. So I want to know what makes you qualified to tell me how to spend my money. I want to know that. How are you qualified to tell me or any of these businesses that were present here that night how we want our money spent? We said, collect it. Please collect it. Take it. Give it to the bid. We like what we're doing. And you said, no, that's okay. We know better than you. You can't have the money anymore. And we're going to make an ordinance so we don't collect any more money from you. Now, I want to know how you know better than I do how to spend my money. Okay? Because I didn't elect you for that. I elected you to represent what I want. And we were here, and we told you what we wanted, and you ignored us and did what you wanted anyway. And I want to know how you know better than I do. I want to know how you know how to spend my money better.
Okay, there is a question on the floor by Ms. Solomon. Is there someone at the table that wants to respond?
I don't think it pertains to the budget. My college degree and anything doesn't pertain to my decision-making factor, but that's just me.
Okay, is there anybody else that wants to respond to the question as opposed?
I asked the same question from the floor when they put the bid in. How did that council know how to take my money and spend it better than me? It's the council's decision. That's what I was told at that time. That's what happened, AJ. That's the way it happens.
But the majority was here.
The majority was the other way when they put the bid into effect.
Well,
anyway,
you know what?
Carla,
I wasn't here when the bid was put into effect.
Carla, the Republican council at the time, and you won. Now you lost. That's the way it goes.
But that's not, you're not answering my question.
Yeah, I did answer
it. No. You said you didn't like the bid when it was started, so now you don't want to have the bid now. Okay, this is what, 15 years later, 8 years later, however long it is, it doesn't matter.
No, the question was, how do you know better than to spend my money? You haven't moved it forward, and when you put it into place, it was told in 3 years it would be self-sufficient. That's what it's supposed to be.
We're willing to keep paying. Okay, we want to keep paying.
Some people
are. Maybe you don't want to keep paying.
Some people are.
There was actually three people in the room, and I'm including you. Even though you didn't say it, but we know how you feel about the bid. That said, no. But there was like 19
people. That's what I ran through, and people elected me three times.
I have to say, Johnny, I think it's a conflict of interest, and you shouldn't have voted anyway. Because you own a business in town, you're voting on something personally, and I think that's a conflict of interest.
You
but still
think
of all,
that
you know, I'm an educated woman too, Becky, very educated. And I'm a smart woman about money. And I really want my people that are running office or sitting in a seat of office to listen to me. I don't want to know what your opinion is. You're supposed to be reflecting my opinion. And the opinion of this room at that time was we wanted to keep paying the bid, and you ignored it. You totally ignored us. And you said, we know better than you. Forget it. This is what you're getting, and we're going to say you can't have any more money. Now, that should be up to us, the businesses. We have a board of directors. We have, you know, we have meetings. We have people like you can come and talk. You can tell us what you want. It's an open forum for the businesses. And at some point in time, the businesses may say, I don't want to do it. John, you don't come and say. You're not a liaison, you don't come.
I'd prefer not to have to go to an extra meeting.
You know, and I really would appreciate it if you'd stop rolling your eyes and leaning back and playing around when I'm talking. It's rude. I'm sorry, but it's rude. I am a taxpayer in this town, and I expect only respect when I'm talking. I'm very upset that you can tell me
thank you very much for your comments. That is the, those are the names that have been placed on this public hearing sign-in sheet. Because there's been confusion and people signed up on the wrong list, is there anyone present in the room that came here tonight for the purpose of speaking about the HBP budget, and perhaps many other purposes, but also the HBP budget, whose name is not on this list? Please raise your hand at this time to be recognized. We are having a public hearing on adoption of a budget. Okay, then you would like to speak? I will recognize Carol Bucca.
Carol Bucca, 330 Shore Drive. I just want to clarify something, because you guys up there, and not all of you, just Johnny and Betty and a few others, keep saying the council is giving the bid the money.
I can't correct it myself. We're collecting it for you.
Well, you didn't correct it.
I did so.
Whatever.
Okay.
Clarify yourselves. Speak clearly.
Okay, thank you very much. I know that there's a hand behind. Carla, will you be offended if I let you speak last?
No.
Okay. Jen Roberts, please. I know that she's going to have things to say.
No, I'm not a member of the bid. I don't pay it, but I just have, I think, a little question for Mr. Urbanski.
Now, Jen Roberts, I know you live in East Valley, or it's
Sorry, 179 Main St. Yeah.
Okay.
And this isn't a jab at you, so please don't take it this way. I know that stinks when somebody prefaces a question that way. Believe me, I know. Is it that you, when you pay money into the bid, is it that you don't know how to use the bid to the full advantage, or that you don't that you don't like anybody who takes money from you? I don't like to be taxed.
I didn't like to be taxed to begin with like that, and that's why. And everybody could sit out here and say, you know, you take it personally. Everybody knows when I ran, I had a big sign in front of my business that said the bid should stay out of my business. And that's why I ran, to have a say, because the people who at this table told me, if you want a say in it, run for office. So that's what I did. I'm sorry that it worked out that I ran to the people who disagree with it, but in all fairness, that's what I did. And I've never tried to hide that fact, and I won't try to hide that fact. I was taxed. And I sat there at the VFW, 3 years, this is going to be self-sufficient, don't worry about it, you won't have to pay anymore. And I sat up here in court when they asked for increases. Well, you got a decrease this year, and now we want you to be self-sufficient. Fair enough.
And I guess part three is my little question. So I completely understand what you're saying, that it's kind of a little bit personal, and now that you're in office.
It's not personal. I wanted to be self-sufficient like I was promised. If it was personal, we would just vote for, you know, I would just vote and say no, no, no. But I haven't throughout the 9 years, and if you could check the record on that.
Yeah.
So it's not personal. I've examined it, and this year actually we reduced the budget and saying, you know, I could maybe lobby the votes to not fund it this year. But we examined that, so it's not fair to say that, okay, it's personal and you just want to defund it. Because it would have been defunded if it was personal.
If you got some kind of advantage from the money that you pay into the bid, would you be more for paying the tax? If you felt like you were getting your money's worth?
No. I'm a believer in no taxes. Less tax, the better. It shouldn't be collected by a tax. I was a member of the Chamber of Commerce, where if you asked me for money for a cause that I wanted to give to, I'd be glad to give to, but if it's something that you're just going to take from me, then I'm against that.
What
I don't think you should just take people's money.
But what if you got something that was really valuable?
I run my own business with my own money. That's how I prefer to do it. That's America. That's why I went into business, to have control over my own business.
I mean, but I don't have control over what kind of rates I get or for my property taxes. So, I mean, basically,
I do
that it's out of control.
I do because I'm in my own business. That's why, you know, that's America.
So you wouldn't care even if, like, you got a huge advantage?
still vote now?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you for answering. Okay. Is there anyone else in the room that by show of hands would like to speak because they either didn't put their name on the list or they've now decided they want to say something? And at this point, my system, yes, Mr. Gallagher has changed his mind.
Art Gallagher, 158 Linden Avenue. It's the question that's raised listening to the comments from the table and from the floor is, I guess, directed at the attorney. Should, going forward, the bid be self-sustaining and raise their own money? Do they still, and no longer request an assessment, do they still have to submit a budget annually to the council?
Statutory, right?
Well, if this is more a law school question kind of answer, but if the Highlands Business Partnership is a public-private partnership, there is a private side of it that is a 501c3, I believe. That entity can, in fact, if it wants to go on and continue to follow its, you know, and I don't know what its mission statement, I can presume what it is, but if they continue to follow their corporate endeavor and become fully self-sufficient and rely on nothing from the borough, and the borough then ceases its obligations under the state statute wherein it collects money from those commercial entities and then distributes to the bid, that entity, that 501c3, can continue along as if it were, I suppose, a chamber of commerce or something to that effect. But it would not be, and I want to be clear about this, it would not be an element of a business partnership under the statute.
So but it would be entity, a bid or a SID?
But it could call itself any number of things, but under the statute, it would not be a business improvement district because we would not be taxing the business district to fund the business partnership.
I understand. Okay. Are there other, as a follow-up then, are there other than the assessment, are there other advantages to the community? And by that I mean, you know, the borough and the 501c3 and the residents of having a bid or SID as defined in the statute, that would go away if the borough no longer collects the assessment.
That's actually not a legal question, that's a policy question, and the governing body's made a decision with regard to whatever advantage or disadvantage there might be.
I'm actually asking you a legal question in the statute. Are there other responsibilities or rights that the entity has, if it's a SID, other than collecting money?
So you're using a technical term. The corporate entity.
No, I'm asking about the statute. Does the statute give?
The statute establishes the ability of the governing body to set up a district and to tax over and above general property taxes entities.
Right. Now, does the entity have any other rights, responsibilities, advantages granted in the statute? That if the entity is no longer a SID or a BID.
The entity meaning the corporate entity.
Right.
Okay.
As far as I understand, the entity, they're the same now. The 501c3 is a SID or a BID.
No.
They're not. They're two separate entities?
No. The BID is a business improvement district. It is something that the borough defines and says, here is the business improvement district. The 501c3 is a corporation that makes up one part of a public-private partnership, which is the HBB.
Okay. Good, I understand that. Okay. Now, if the borough decides no longer to
fund through taxation,
does the distinction bid go away?
Well, yes, because, well, what I will say is, there's no longer a business improvement district because the borough is no longer taxing entities within that district.
Okay, is that an automatic mechanism, or does the Department of Community Affairs have to?
There's going
to
be an ordinance that's going to be enacted by the governing body that's going to dissolve that aspect of it. That there will be no longer any additional taxation to businesses within the business improvement district.
And
and does that ordinance will then dissolve the statutory distinction business improvement district?
Well, in that sense it will, yes.
Okay, and does that have to be approved by the Department of Community Affairs or any other state entity?
No, when you dissolve a business improvement district, that's done within the local level.
And DCA has no say?
Well, they'll likely get notification of it, but I don't believe that they have any. There's no oversight obligation. Is that what you're getting? Any oversight obligation or approval obligation?
Well, I'm not an expert, but there's. It seems to me that there's very little that the borough can do without a stamp from Trenton or an order.
Not that I'm aware. That there's no in the dissolution process that oversight of DCA or any of the other, you know, divisions within the government, the division of local government are involved.
Okay. And to your knowledge, and I think this is a legal question. Does the distinction 501c3?
That's a not-for-profit distinction.
I know.
The IRS.
Right. I understand that. But is that dependent upon their ability to continue to have that distinction dependent upon it being a bid?
I don't know what their mission statement is, but I would presume not.
But that might not be a function of the mission statement; it'd be a function of the IRS.
I have no idea what the 501c3's mission statement is. I don't know about the organization structure.
I would ask the council to consider that question as you're drafting your ordinance.
I'm done.
Okay.
It's not our intention to affect the 501c3.
I know, but you might be. I'm raising the question. I haven't read the stuff myself, but I understood, and my understanding might be incorrect. I understood that the 501c3, part of the reasons it was granted was because it was a bid, and then the organization may no longer qualify for being a 501c3 because it doesn't have that. Having been the president of a regional chamber of commerce, I know chamber of commerce is not a 501c3 and does not qualify to be a 501c3. That I know is a fact.
Right.
So you might be changing the tax status of the entity. If donations, they may not be able to collect donations that are tax deductible, etc. So as you consider what you're going to do for the betterment of the community or not, I ask you to consider that question.
Okay.
Is there anyone else in the room that has a comment on the public hearing for the HPP budget that has not had an opportunity to speak their mind? By show of hands at this point, since we've gone through those who are on the list. I know I did ask Ms. Braswell to wait until last, and she's patiently done that. I'll recognize President of the HPP for final comments. I'm recognizing you. Everybody's had a lot to say about all of this, and I know that you've got more to say, and I did ask you to wait, and you've been very patient.
I'll just read a little bit, and this is available on our website, and I really urge everyone to read because I can answer that question. And the 501c3 will get, just let me read this, and then I'll add my closing comments. This is Special Improvement District Handbook, how the SID is created. The SID itself is created by local ordinance, supported by a community planning process. And while Mr. Urbanski is correct that there were some opposers when it was created, a lot more than there are now, please let me finish. We do have the original petition on file for anyone's review when the SID was created, and there was more in favor than opposed. So I just wanted to set that up for the record. So the SID is created by local ordinance, supported by community planning, and does not require approval by the state or county, to answer this question, just by the IRS. A community-based planning process establishes the extent, purpose, mission, and budget of the SID. Who governs the SID? The SID is governed by a nonprofit management corporation, Highlands Business Partnership in our case, designated require the sit of at least one local elected official on its board as a voting member. We have two. And that board be compromised majority of business owners and property owners. All members of the SID are members of the nonprofit corporation, meaning everyone that pays the assessment. It's not a tax, it's a self-imposed assessment. Who determines the SID budget and how do SIDs enhance their budget? The SID and its board of directors determine the budget of the SID, not the local government. Although the municipal council must approve it annually by resolution, the first and foremost job, as previously stated for a SID, is to manage itself and not in a haphazard manner. The budget accomplishes this. Secondly, the SID can leverage its funds within 2 to 3 years. Most SIDs leverage 2 to 4 times their budget. That's not bad at all, and it makes good sense for the nonprofit. They can do this because of their legal authority, nonprofit status to receive funds, tax-deductible donations, leveraging potential and countable source of funds. Who collects the SID assessment? And just on that note, before I go to the next, when they talk about practices and how you could leverage your budget 2 to 4 times, we have done that successfully from the creation of the SID. We have also, where it talks about, you know, leveraging funds, we've had tourism grants, we've had other kinds of grants, we've applied for different grants that we did not get, all under the state grant, nonprofit status. Who collects the SID assessment? One of the chief partnerships of the SID is with the local government, which acts as a collector of the SID funds. It is their responsibility to bill and collect the assessment funds as a special assessment and ensure that 100% of the funds are given to the SID. How much is the SID assessment and who is assessed? SID assessments on average in New Jersey are equivalent to an increase of approximately 5 to 9% of the total property tax bill, or an additional 19 to 28 cents per $100 value of the tax rate. We have never been that high. We have always managed to maintain and grow with very minimal funds, probably the smallest in the state of New Jersey, probably in the United States, I was told. Does the state replace municipal services? No. By state statute, the state can only enhance, not replace, any municipal service. The SID can provide many services to assist the municipal area with business development. I don't know if you need to read that because we're not is there municipal oversight of the SID? Yes, there are four primary oversights, and these are one really unsurprised. Ordinance oversight. The SID statute requires one elected person be a voting member of the directors. The municipal council approves the annual SID budget and is presented with an annual report, and the SID must conduct an open annual certified audit, which must be submitted to the municipal government. Mr. Packer, I'm sorry, but I'd like to ask you a question. Have you not received an annual budget and a certified audit from the Highlands Business Partnership for 9 years?
I know I've gotten them. I can't tell you off the top of my head, but I have got the audits. You have
submitted. We're also required by the statute to submit it to the Department of Community Affairs as well. I just want to say that the SID is a business-led, business-oriented organization with real authority to accomplish agreed-upon goals. It unites the business community in an honest fashion to make a real impact and promote and advance better business practices. It allows the business community to be a real partner in a larger community and a weren't able to pull out the licenses, when we were able 4 years later, this is now the 15th Clam Festival. I personally, as well as other board members, chose never to pull that means of fundraising from the fire department. We have helped the first day with purchasing signage to help them recruit the members. We have helped the VFW organization in their fundraising initiatives. We spend $35,000 a year on putting on a Clam Festival, and every organization has piggybacked. When former Mayor O'Neill's wife needed fundraising initiatives for families, the Highlands Business Partnership was there for somebody's bereavement or whatever the case was. The PBS, when they needed assistance in fundraising, and then in recent times, the Cabousian Restoration Committee, who we are assisting in fundraising events, but were omitted from the press release. So I just would like to add that everyone be mindful of the fact that the Highlands Business Partnership has been there for every single organization in this town, utilizing RC3 to the fullest to help every organization in this community. And we've never turned our back on anyone, and I don't think we've been treated very nice.
Is there anyone else in the room who has not spoken relative to the HPP budget that would like an opportunity to do so? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close the public portion. Before we take a vote, we're ready to vote, right? Before we take a vote, I just want to make a couple of comments of my own. I am in a minority on this governing body with regard to my stance relative to the HPP, and I just want the record to be clear that I do not agree with the majority of the governing body relative to what they have accomplished with regard to the HBP. That being said, the governing body is a five-member board. The majority of votes on the governing body is what controls the rule of law in town. We have a budget before us this evening. I will need to determine, as I vote last, what I'm going to do. The amount of money that I would like to see the HBP receive is exactly what their membership voted they would want as an assessment against themselves. And I am really unclear in my own mind as to what the state of the law is in this circumstance. I question whether it has ever occurred before.